Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Immediately after church at 12:20, the middle school students and their parents will be right outside the theater having their back-to-school prayer. And teens and their parents will be in the band room. The prayers will start promptly at 12:20. So please, you can make our way back there as the kids get ready to go back to school tomorrow. And all the parents said amen. Amen. The kids are not happy. But you got to go back to school. I also want us to be marking our calendars Thursday, August 16th, during our midweek service. We're going to be having a prayer, singing, and anointing service for the sick. In James chapter 5, in verse 14, the Bible says, Is any one of you sick? He shall call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Amen? So please, if you're sick, especially if you've got a chronic illness, I would like for you to be at church on August 16th without fail. We're going to be having that service, and the elders will be anointing you with oil. Amen? So I'm looking forward to that. Also, next Sunday will be Anthony and Patsy's last Sunday with us. They're going to be moving back to Athens. We love them dearly. They've been a great asset in this congregation. But they live in Athens. They commute down here twice a week. Next Sunday is going to be their last Sunday. Brother, we love you. We're going to miss you. But he has promised that whenever we need him to come down and sing, he will come and sing. Amen. Amen. But we're going to miss you. So make sure, you know, you give them a hug this afternoon at midweek and then obviously next Sunday. Are you enjoying the Olympics? I love the Olympic Games. It's a celebration of sport. Studies actually show that during the Olympic Games and also during the World Cup, which Americans call soccer, the rest of the world calls it football. Because you play with your foot. Okay? Like I said, we throw this and we call it football. I still cannot figure that one out. The only guy that kicks the ball is actually not considered a football player. Go figure. But studies show that when the Olympics are going on and when the World Cup is going on, crime actually goes down. Because people are busy watching the sporting event. The Olympics and the World Cup, I really believe, brings people together like nothing else. It's just awesome to see men and women that have been trained and, you know, working on, you know, their craft, come together from all over the world, and they compete together, and it's exciting to watch. Now, I'm not happy about how NBC is doing this stuff, okay? The next Olympics is in Brazil, right, Galileo? Yes. Now, I want to find out, Rio de Janeiro, is that on the same time zone with the Eastern Seaboard? They are 1 hour ahead. I can live with that. Okay, so I'm looking forward to 4 years from now. There's not going to be any tape delay. All right? I mean, this afternoon, my favorite event is coming up, the 100 meters final. Yeah. You better believe I am not waiting till prime time to watch it. I'm going to be watching it on my computer as it's going on sometime this afternoon in a few hours. But it's awesome. You see, people are celebrating. Also, when we celebrate the birth of children, and it's awesome. We celebrate when somebody gets married. That's wonderful. When somebody celebrates a birthday, I mean, we just sang to Jeff here, he just turned 50. That's a milestone, amen? Amen. And we celebrate such things. When people get promotions or they get a new job. Are you with me? Yeah. We celebrate all these things when they graduate from college or from high school. Yeah. We celebrate. Yeah.
This morning, I want to talk to us when heaven celebrates. And it may surprise you. The thing that gets heaven excited, believe it or not, is not what gets us excited. And that's what I want us to start looking at this morning from the scriptures. Luke chapter 15. The title of my lesson this morning is When Heaven Celebrates. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin this morning. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's amazing. I've been studying this thing out now for over a week. And, you know, Steve Collier got up this morning, continued to teach us about the life of Christ. I had no idea he was going to be showing that movie clip. You see how the Holy Spirit works? I had no idea. Obviously, this was what I was going to be talking about this morning. I've been studying this stuff out, like I said, for a few weeks now. But it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. It says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. It's a story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus tells three parables in Luke chapter 15. This morning we're going to be talking about the first two. In both parables, something is lost and is found. And a celebration follows. Jesus, like we're told in the beginning of the passage, is surrounded by two groups of people. Quote unquote, sinners. People who saw their need for God. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who accused Jesus of hanging around and getting together, quote unquote, with sinful people. You know, that was one of the accusations in the Gospels. He was called a friend of sinners. We learn a great deal about the heart of God in these passages. First and foremost, it is a love that seeks. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? We see the same idea in the bottom. This woman had 10 coins and she lost one. And so she begins to search. The shepherd obviously represents God. And the woman also represents God in the story. The first thing we would notice is that the shepherd realizes that one sheep is missing. Out of 100. At some point also, the woman notices, you know what, I have lost one of my coins. Are you with me? This is not a penny. This is not a dime that she lost. As a matter of fact, one silver coin was like a drachma, which was one day's wages. That's a lot of money. Are you with me? But they noticed that one is missing. I mean, think about 100 sheep. They probably come in, you know, they got different spots on them. And every night, the shepherd would open up the sheep pen and get the sheep all into the pen. And you better believe, as they're coming in, he's counting. Uh-oh, one is missing. His attitude is not, well, I got 99. One is missing. He'll probably find his way home. Sheep are dumb animals, okay? They're not like dogs or horses. They're not going to find their way back home. But you see the attitude of the shepherd. Sheep are also defenseless animals against wolves, lions. And so what is the attitude of the shepherd? He leaves the 99 and then he goes looking for the lost sheep. Why? Because he realized he had lost something very valuable. See, a lot of times, you know, how many people in here have ever lost money? Have you ever lost money? Go and raise your hand. I know I have. Okay? Your search for the money you've lost depends on how much money you lost. You know, if I lose a quarter, it's like, okay. It's no big deal. I didn't even think about it twice. I remember one time, I lost $400 in $100 bills. And what had happened was, I had it, and I put it somewhere where I thought, I'm not going to forget. And then I couldn't remember where I put the money. And I spent days and weeks looking for it. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I didn't have the money. Maybe I didn't lose it. Because I can't find it. You know, and that was my rationale to kind of pacify myself. And I said, that's a lot of money to lose. Okay, I lost the money. Would you believe I never found it until we were getting ready to move? I mean, I'm going through stuff. All of a sudden, it's like, thank you, Jesus. There you are. I found it. I found you, Kunta Kinte. You know, one of those kind of things. I was very excited. Why? Because it wasn't just a quarter that I lost. Are you with me? But look at the attitude of the shepherd. Look at the attitude of the woman. The search is focused. It is careful. It is very deliberate. Why? Because the sheep and the lost coin are very valuable. Look at God's attitude. Look at God's heart. We're talking about seeking and searching with a purpose. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. Are you with me? An attitude of never giving up. I mean, I just want you to picture the shepherd. The 99 are okay. Now I got to go find me this lost sheep. He just can't go anywhere. He's probably following, you know, trying to follow his trail. Obviously, these are his sheep. He knows exactly what they smell like. But we don't know how long it takes him to find a sheep. We don't know how many days. But he goes out there because he knows that, you know what, this sheep needs help. And if I don't do something, the sheep will die and never come back home. That is God's heart. It's like God is constantly on a search and rescue mission. You remember years ago when the movie Titanic came out? And you remember that scene at the end? After, the ship has sank and, you know, there are people in the water. And, you know, the lifeboats were out there. And some of the, you know, quote-unquote guys, you know, they said, we got to go back and find some survivors. And what were they doing? As they went out in the dark, in that cold water. Hello! Yeah, I know that's Hollywood, but I'm sure it was something like that. Is anybody out there? Hello? Is there anybody out there? The same thing happens even today. When children are abducted, and then the community rallies and starts looking, you go out and you start screaming out the kid's name. Because why do people rally? Kids don't get lost, they're abducted. Those parents never relent. They keep searching for their loved one, for their child. You know, I went to the website of the National Council for the Exploitation, Exploitation of and Missing Children. And this stat stunned me. Over 800,000 kids are abducted in this country every year. 800,000. That is 2,000 every day. Kids don't get lost. They get abducted. Somebody grabs them. I'm sure a few weeks ago you saw the news, you know, of these two cousins, two young girls who went out riding their bicycle by some lake not too far from their grandmother's. And they're still missing. Can you imagine the agony that those parents are going through every single day? There's some messed up people in this world. Okay? Now, where are my kids at? I need your help. Jaden, come. Annalise, come. Here are two of my daughters. Your kids are my kids are your kids. This is our big village, right? I can't imagine one of these little ones getting lost. I pray that never happens to any of us. That we never experience anything like that. But kids, I want you to listen to me today. You know, Mommy and Daddy and Mr. Richard will tell you, you don't scream in the house, okay? You never scream. You don't scream in the classroom. You don't scream at church. All right? Are you guys with me? You never scream. There is one time when you are allowed to scream at the top of your voice. Okay? If you see a bad guy out there trying to grab you, I want you to scream like you have never done before in your life. Somebody you don't know or recognize just grabs you and wants to take you, scream. That's the only time you can scream, okay, guys? Okay? Now, can you guys give me a little demonstration? Oh, hold on. Now, the adults in the room, you may want to block your ears at this point. Okay? I'm giving you permission. All right? I want you to scream at the top of your lungs. As high as you can. Go ahead. Scream. Yeah. Okay. That was take one. That didn't work. We're going to try again a second time. It's okay. You can scream. Go ahead and scream. I'm going to count to three. Oh, okay. They're helping you. One, two, three. Okay. Thank you, guys. Now, kid, do you know why you need to scream? Because bad people, when you scream like that, they get afraid. They would run. Are you with me? They would run away from you. And so the first thing you want to do is scream. And they will take off. Are you with me? All right? That's the only time you can scream. Okay, guys? But you guys get the point. We can't imagine losing one of our kids like that, or our grandchildren. We will do everything within our power to find them. We will never be able to rest until we found them. You see, the story tells us that God goes after the lost sheep, God goes after the lost coin, until he finds it. That's incredible to me. The question I'm asking us this morning is our attitude towards the lost the same as God's? Now, I don't know about you, as I was learning this stuff out, it was very, very convicting. Is my attitude the same as God's when it comes to lost sheep? Or do I get tired? Do I give up? When parents lose a loved one, they never stop praying. They never stop searching. They never stop, period. Look in John 10. We're going to come back to Luke 15. Hold your place. In John chapter 10, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. But I want to see something here that I think is really cool. In John chapter 10, beginning verse 1, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." He's talking about the devil. "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Did you see it? Lost sheep know the voice of their master. Lost sheep recognize Jesus' voice. When you and I go out and we're helping people trying to know God, it's as if God is speaking through us and through his word. And people that are lost, people that belong to God, will hear that voice and respond to it. Are you with me? That's exciting. And you know what's so cool? Jesus goes on to say, I'm not going to read that part. Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, he said it again towards the end of his life. None of my sheep is lost except the one bound for destruction. Every sheep that's meant to be in heaven will be there. God is not going to lose one of them. Are you with me? You know, people are sometimes ask me the question, say, you know, first of all, when is Jesus coming back? I say, well, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. That's the first thing, okay? We don't know. But, you know, from other passages, you can deduce the reason why the end hasn't happened yet is because everybody that's meant to be in the pen is not in yet. Are you with me? And so, believe it or not, the quicker you and I go about looking for lost sheep, the quicker I believe Jesus is going to be able to come back. Not only us, but every single place on the face of this earth. It's got to be a careful search. It's got to be a focused search. I can't imagine a parent that has lost a child to an abduction, not praying for that child every day, not thinking about that child every day. We serve an awesome God, and a lot of great things happen in our lives. Heaven doesn't celebrate when you have a new child. That's amazing to me. That's a good thing, though. Don't get me wrong. When you graduate, there are no scriptures that I can find. We're talking about how up there they're having a great time. But when lost sheep is found, when a lost coin is found, when somebody who is lost comes back home, the Bible says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. So who's doing the rejoicing? God himself. You say, why is that? Because have you forgotten that is why Jesus came into this world in the first place? That's why he gets excited about it. Because that was the only reason he sent his son into this world. To die for us and to claim us back and to lead us back home to him. That's why heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. Amen? That's what gets God fired up. Now don't get me wrong. We're going to continue to have kids. And praise God, we will celebrate. People will continue to have birthdays and we will celebrate. But you really want to put a smile on God's face? Go seek and find the lost. You want to really make God happy? Go lead a stray sheep back to him. Is that your heart? Is that what gets you out of bed in the morning? It should be. If we claim we're followers of Jesus, if we claim we love God. Now, please don't get me wrong. As we go out looking for lost sheep, we need to help them count the cost. Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower in Luke 14. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build but was not able to finish. Prior to that, he says, as a matter of fact, you want to follow me? You got to love me more than your mother, your father, your son, your kids. I've got to be number one. That's discipleship. People have to love God more than anything else. If you think about it, the birth of a child, graduation, promotion, new job, birthdays, Super Bowl wins, whatever it is you want to, you know, celebrate, that we all celebrate in this world, it's all temporary. The only thing that heaven rejoices about is when a sinner repents. Why is that? Because it's an eternal decision. It's eternal. It's not temporary. A child is born, it's very temporary. That child is going to die one day. I used to be a little baby. You used to be a little baby. And now you're a grown man, you're a grown woman. Amen. But you're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day. Okay? You graduated. I graduated. It was a happy day. But all those decisions, all those celebrations were all temporary. The only thing that's going to be celebrated for eternity is that decision that you and I made and will make to turn back to God when the shepherd finds us. And notice, we don't know how long this sheep has been gone. The shepherd didn't find the sheep and go, where in the world have you been? No. He grabs that thing, puts it on his shoulders. And he goes back home and he now has a party. Hey, guys, I found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate. You see what's going on? The woman is looking for her lost coin. She doesn't find the lost coin and starts talking to the coin. Okay? That would be weird. You mean you've been hiding under the sofa all this time? What's wrong with you? We don't read that. She found the coin and she calls her neighbors. Hey, let's celebrate. Why? Because that coin, the lost sheep, was very valuable to them. Are you with me? And so the question I'm asking us this morning is, do we celebrate what heaven celebrates? What really gets you fired up? What really gets you going? Heaven gets to celebrate when every sinner repents. Notice, it doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. It says in the presence of the angels. It's God doing the rejoicing. And the angels are there experiencing it. Are you with me? That's exciting to me. It's a personal search. It's a persevering search. It is also a successful search. Everything Jesus did was about seeking and finding the lost. The question is, though, how long do we seek after lost souls? As long as it takes to get the job done. That needs to be our attitude, church. Amen? As long as it takes to get the job done. Now, some of us, you know, we're visiting this morning. I praise God that you're here. I hope you've enjoyed the service and you're enjoying it. I want to encourage you to come back. I want to encourage you to get into the scriptures and get to know about this God that we're talking about that created this universe out of nothing. Believe it or not, we're not crazy people. We love God. We've seen these things in the scriptures and we've been living this life and it's exciting. And so we can't help but want to talk to other people about it. And that's what Christianity is really all about. It's a relationship with the creator of the universe. The God who calls things that are not as though they were. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. The King of all kings and the Lord of lords. The God who dwells in unapproachable light. That's what we're talking about. It's an exciting life. And when you find him, when you get to know him, oh, there's nothing like it. I still remember when I repented. For me, it was 26 years ago. You remember when you repented. You remember when the light went off and you decided to turn away from this world and literally turn towards God. You remember that. That was a happy day. I mean, we sing that song around here every once in a while. Oh, happy day. We haven't done it in a while, man, so we need to do it. Okay? Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed all my sins away. And to think that one of these days, we're going to be with him for eternity. Forever and ever. And like the Bible talks about, there will be no pain. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more crying. For the old order of things would have passed away. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. That's why I think about heaven every day. You can have all this stuff. It's not worth it. Why? Because your soul and my soul is too precious. It cost Jesus his blood. And so I want to encourage you to continue to study the Bible. I want to encourage you to continue to come to church. Get into the scriptures. It's all there. It's not that complicated, believe me. You want to put a smile on God's face? It's time for you to come home. It's time for you to turn yourself in. And I don't think you can make that decision by listening to one sermon. Some people do that in terms of that's what they practice. Okay, we want to go ahead and tell you to come forward. If you want to accept Jesus, come, go ahead and come forward. No, we don't do that in this church. The reason is, first of all, it's not in the Bible. Nobody prays for salvation. It's not in the Bible. I see people making decisions to follow Jesus Christ, to make him Lord of their lives. I see people repenting of their sins, which means to turn towards God and turn away from this world. And I see people getting baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. That is what I read in Scripture. That's why I'm a preacher. That's why I left accounting and I left the practice of law to do this. Because people do not know this. Amen? Now, the only difference is, you get to do the same thing. Now, the church pays me. The church doesn't pay you. Alright? But we're all ministers of the gospel. We're all ministers of reconciliation. Amen? We're all in the ministry, believe it or not. You just don't get paid by the ministry. You see, you say, well, Richard, where's my reward? You're going to wait to get in. It's on the other side. It's in heaven. Amen? Amen. You're going to study it out. Not everybody gets the same reward on the other side. Just like those that are separated from God don't get the same judgment. Each man is going to be judged according to what he has done. But I'm appealing to you today. You want to put a smile on God's face? Seek the lost. If you don't know God yet, it's time for you to get serious about that decision. Get into the Bible and do what it says. That is what heaven celebrates. I don't really feel God cares about who wins gold or bronze. I really don't. We get excited about that kind of stuff. And again, I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. I'm going to miss Michael Phelps. 22 medals by one individual in 3 Olympics. That's incredible. And you and I, we're alive today to experience it. You know, I was reading the caption of ESPN this morning, and they showed him, you know, waving after the gold medal, the last gold medal that he got yesterday, and they said, Elvis has left the building. I thought that was cool. Maybe somebody will come around and break that record. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to see it in my lifetime. Because the previous record stood for 48 years. What, it just broke last week. It stood for 48 years. But you see, some of us are Giants fans in here. Yeah, last year your Giants won the, what do you call it? They won the Super Bowl and you're all excited. I'm happy for you, okay? The rest of us, hopefully our team will be celebrating this year. All right? But heaven doesn't get excited about that. I don't really think God cares. Who wins the NBA title? I don't think so. Now, again, don't get me wrong. There's something wrong in getting excited about it. But I'm saying it's time for you and I to get excited about what God gets excited about.
Amen.
And not the other way around. If your celebration and your excitement is about the Dallas Cowboys or whoever it is, or the Georgia Bulldogs, and you're not really about seeking and saving the lost, you got problems. I've got problems if that's the case.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
It should be the other way around. So brothers and sisters, every single day, let us strive to bring a smile to the face of God.
Yeah.
Let us go after lost sheep. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, open your mouth.
Yeah.
Start talking. Because God wants to celebrate up there. As people come home, one by one. Amen. Thanks for listening. God bless.
It's a great lesson. I've been asked to remind you that there will be a prayer time beginning at 12:20 for the middle school and high school students. The middle school students and their parents will meet in front of the theater in the foyer, and the high school students and their parents will meet in the band room. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your great and holy name. To you, Father, we extend to you our gratitude and our thanks for the hope that we have for salvation and eternal life. God, we pray that as we go out today, that we'll be mindful of just the great privilege it is to be called your sons and daughters. And that we, Father, will look to our fellow mankind, to neighbors and friends and family, and that we'll take advantage of every opportunity to tell them of Jesus and the hope of salvation that comes through him. And Father, we pray that each of us might be mindful to partake in each of those opportunities to share about your son. Thank you, Father, for all you give us. Bless us, dismiss us in your care. We pray in Jesus. Amen.